Now, has anyone here heard about the Google Ngram viewer before? John's nodding his head. What's it do, John?
Doesn't it like search all the words on books and stuff and give you graphs of what to search for?
That's pretty good. Did you hear what John said there? You can plug in a word and it searches for that word. Basically, it looks at the frequency that that word has occurred in each year over the last 250 years or something like that. I think it goes actually back to the 1500s, but their library back then, it's not as useful, I guess, in terms of how many books they have. So it's interesting because you can plug in a word there and basically see the frequency of the use of that word. Now, it might not be totally accurate, but it gives you a pretty good idea of various words when they're used. So you can see one up on the screen there, which is Australia. Makes sense that you can see where Australia basically as a word wasn't on the horizon up until the 1820s. Makes sense, doesn't it? And then pretty much steady increase since the 1820s. Okay, so that seems to fit in with what we know about Australian history. Well, I decided to do a graph of a word which is related to what we'll be looking at today, and that is the word generosity. So generosity is the one in blue, and greed is the one in red. So you can see from that graph that the frequency of the word generosity in print has been declining over the last 250 years, whereas the word greed has been increasing in frequency. Now, I don't know what that means, but possibly you could ask the question, does that suggest that generosity is a concept that is less important these days than it used to be? Perhaps. But what about for you? How important is generosity as a concept in your way of thinking? If you were to analyse how generous you are as a person, what would you say? If you were to calculate the percentage of your income that you use to spend on other people or the amount of unpaid time that you use to help others, what percentage figure do you think you'd end up with? Now, I know it's difficult to be generous with our money when we're struggling personally to make ends meet. And some of us might be in that position, particularly if you're trying to buy a house in Sydney. You feel the pressure. But if you're one of those whom God has blessed financially, then it's important to consider every so often, and for all of us basically, how are we using the resources that God has given us? Have we been using these resources for God? And this incident in John chapter 12, in verses 1 to 8 in particular, where Mary anoints Jesus' feet with expensive perfume, forces us to consider just how generous we are in relation to Jesus. Now, the background to the story is that Jesus' opponents were planning to kill him. They wanted to arrest Jesus. So Jesus had to take refuge away from Jerusalem. But leading up to the Passover festival, Jesus had to go to Jerusalem because that's where the festival was going to be held. And so he had to get ready to enter Jerusalem without being arrested too early. So he took up position in Bethany, which is a village not far from Jerusalem, just over 2 kilometres away. And Bethany is significant because it's also the village where Lazarus and Lazarus's two sisters, Mary and Martha, lived. So it makes sense that when Jesus turned up in Bethany, the family there would want to express their gratitude to Jesus for having raised Lazarus up from the dead. Like, it's not every day that a dead person is resurrected, right? So this was a good occasion for the family and everyone else in the community there to celebrate what Jesus had done for Lazarus by organising a dinner at which Jesus would be the guest of honour. We're told that Martha was helping to serve the guests while Lazarus was participating in the dinner along with Jesus. It was while they were reclining around the dinner table there. Yes, they used to lie on cushions around a table to eat at formal dinners back in those days. Normal dinners, they'd probably just sit down on seats or something like that, but this was a special occasion, so they're taking it easy, relaxing around the table. And it's at that time that Lazarus's other sister, Mary, she took around 300 grams of expensive perfumed oil, poured it over Jesus' feet, and then wiped the oil off Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but it does seem to be a little bit strange, right? Like, I did actually think, well, should we try that here today? But I don't know if anyone would like to pour oil on my smelly feet and then use their hair to wipe it all up. I don't know. Lan, do you want to do that? Try it, perhaps? She's shaking her head. So if she's not willing to do it, who else would be? It does seem a little bit strange that Mary would do this. Why would she take this expensive perfume and anoint Jesus with it and then use her hair as a towel? Now, we should keep in mind that it was a sign of good hospitality for hosts to anoint the heads of the important guests who came to dinner. They'd use some kind of nice oil. But anointing a person's feet as well and then using one's hair as a towel, that definitely was unusual. And we're told that the perfume was made from nard. Anyone know what nard is? I had to look this one up because I had no clue. But nard, it's also known as spikenard or musk root. And it's an aromatic oil that is derived from the spikenard plant that grows in the Himalayas, in China and the Indian region. People say it has a calming, woody, musky aroma to it. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but perhaps we can sort of imagine. Now, we do know that from what Judas said in verse 5, that the perfume could have been sold for 300 denarii. So that's like 300 silver coins, which means that the perfume would have been worth the equivalent today of over $60,000. So that's a lot of money. It was very expensive perfume. That jar of perfume could have represented a significant proportion of the life savings that Mary and Martha had managed to accumulate. And I imagine it was probably originally planned to function as some kind of investment vehicle. Expensive perfume was something that can store value in non-monetary form. But here we see Mary offering it up to Jesus out of gratitude for saving her brother's life. Now, Mary's willingness to sacrifice something of great value for Jesus shows just how much she valued Jesus. Wiping Jesus' feet with her hair is also an amazing act of personal submission. Think about it, using your hair as a towel. That is a little bit strange, right? If she had a normal towel there to wipe up the excess oil, that would have been expected perhaps. But Mary adds here a personal touch by using her own hair. And in some ways, we have to say that what she did here was a little bit shocking. Because back in those days, women normally kept their hair covered in public. So by uncovering her hair and using it in the way that she did, Mary was opening herself up to potential criticism about a lack of modesty or a lack of decorum. But she did what she did out of love and devotion for Jesus. She submitted herself to Jesus. The positioning, when she used her own hair to clean Jesus' feet, you can see what that means. She was effectively placing her head under the lowest part of Jesus' body. She's submitting herself to Jesus. Overall, what we see here is an amazing act of love and devotion and gratitude, which is also an act of amazing submission. And I think at this point, Mary functions as a great example for each of us. Her devotion to Jesus forces us to ask about ourselves, to what extent are we willing to sacrifice what we have out of love and submission to Jesus? To what extent are we willing to give things up out of gratitude for Jesus saving us and our loved ones? You know, if Jesus has blessed us financially, or if he's blessed us with time and energy, how much of those resources are we willing to use to bring honour to Jesus? Now, the perfume that Mary used was very powerful. We're told that after Jesus was anointed with it, the smell of the perfume filled the house. You can imagine the dinner guests, they're probably all there enjoying the aroma, all except for Judas. Now, most of us probably know who Judas was. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He was one of the 12 apostles. But the narrator also tells us that Judas was shortly going to betray Jesus. And we see Judas here, he's unhappy. He's unhappy that Mary had used the expensive perfumed oil on Jesus. And he asked, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? To some extent, it sounds like Judas has a reasonable point, right? That perfume could have been sold for the equivalent today of over $60,000. It could have been used to help the needy. Now imagine if our church received a $60,000 donation from someone. That's a large amount of money. It could definitely be put to good use. But Judas said what he did, not because he was really concerned about the poor, but because he functioned as the treasurer at the time. He was the apostolic treasurer. He was the guy who controlled the offering box, and he was taking his cut of the proceeds. Now, obviously, if a large amount like $60,000 was donated to Jesus' ministry, what does that mean? Well, that means for Judas that he could get his cut of $60,000. He'd be able to get his hands on a large amount of money. No wonder he was upset. But his words about selling the perfume and delivering the proceeds to the poor, the narrator tells us quite clearly here that that was pure hypocrisy. He wasn't really concerned about the poor. He was just thinking about himself and what he could get. And friends, here we see a stark contrast. It's drawn for us in the narrative here, a contrast between Mary and Judas. What do we see Mary was like? Well, Mary was, what would you say? She was full of gratitude. She was full of love towards Jesus. Whereas Judas, he was simply thinking about himself and how to fulfill his greed. Mary was exuberant in thinking about how she could use the resources at her disposal for Jesus' benefit. But Judas could only think about how to arrange things for his own financial benefit. Now, it seems that Judas may have been hoping, by saying what he did, that the rest of the perfume might be donated to the disciples, and so he'd still be able to get some of his hands on that money. We see Jesus suggesting as much in response to his words when he said, "Leave her alone, so that she might keep it for the day of my burial." The aromatic oil that Mary had used to anoint Jesus' body, it preempted how his body would be prepared for burial. And it seems that the remaining portion of Mary's oil was going to be used for that purpose. And friends, here we are reminded of the fact that Jesus died and was buried in the tomb on our behalf. By going to the cross, Jesus has opened up the way to life for you and for me. Now, given everything that Jesus has done for us, it should be only natural for us to want to use even the most valuable things we have in devotion and love to Jesus. Now, it's interesting, at the time that Jesus was having dinner, we see that there was a large crowd of people, probably not just there having dinner, but maybe the rest of people in the community there. They're all gathering together around the house. And there were two attractions. The first one was Jesus himself. He's a famous guy. But the second one, surprisingly perhaps, or maybe not, I don't know what you think, but it was Lazarus. Why was Lazarus famous, you reckon? Any thoughts? Yeah, he'd been resurrected from the dead. Everyone was wanting to get a glimpse of the lucky guy. You know, this guy who had died, but Jesus had brought him back alive from the grave. I want to get a look at this guy. I want to see if it's true. Lazarus had, in effect, become a bit of a celebrity thanks to his resurrection from the dead. But notice, you might think it's good being famous, but notice with growing fame came growing opposition. The chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus along with Jesus. They were concerned that Lazarus was living proof of Jesus' power and authority. So in order to protect their power and their position, in order to stop the flow of people going off and believing in Jesus, we can see here that they came to a decision. They were willing to resort to murder in order to protect their own power and privilege. And friends, once again, we see here a great contrast, don't we, between the chief priests and Mary. We can throw Judas into the mix as well. Both Judas and the chief priests, what is their attitude to Jesus compared to Mary's attitude? Well, Judas, he was into greed. The chief priests, they were into power. But Mary understood that we owe Jesus a great debt of gratitude for giving us life. And because Mary understood that, she was willing to pay the price. She was willing to sacrifice her resources for the sake of Jesus. So, friends, I think the message should be quite clear to us today. What does God want us to learn through this strange incident? Well, I think the conclusion is that as God gives you the resources and the opportunity, then definitely be as exuberant as you possibly can in using your time and energy and financial resources for the sake of Jesus and his kingdom. After all, Jesus was willing to go to the grave so that we might live. What are we willing to do for him in return?